Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Waiting for it.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again!
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Della Torre.
And your boy Jay Scar.
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
Give me my glasses so I can see y'all boys, man. Beautiful weekend. Final Four vibes. How y'all feeling, man? How's y'all spending?
Final Four vibes. Won a golf tournament Saturday, which was great. Last time playing golf for about a month. I've been dealing with a little bit of an injury. Re-aggravated that. That's what I get. But went home a champion. And yeah, and then after that, I had to leave before the awards part of it because I had to go meet some friends out and watch the Gators game. And what a hell of a performance Saturday night, huh?
Man.
Them boys had me at the edge of my seat, though. That was a great one, though.
I had my, hey, this is going to be a great season to look back on. It was a lot of fun, you know. it was bound to catch up to us at some point, but had those in the dress ready to go. But obviously, some better things happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful game, man. Resilient bunch. We'll talk some basketball, I'm sure. Everybody that's tuning in right now, hit like, subscribe, go give us reviews on Apple Music, sure. Spotify, all of those places, man. Show love. It don't cost nothing to show love. Nick, you get into anything special? You was at the game, right, Nick?
No. I had I call her my cousin. Her dad's my godfather. We grew up together. It was her wedding. Fun fact, if you get married at the White Room, and you don't have a company that's setting your up your event, they'll give you a half an hour for the event to set it up. So my cousin Nicole and her mom formed an LLC, Deutschman Designs. So they were afforded 2 hours to set up for our wedding. So family wedding. Forgot that Nicole went to Florida State, was marrying into a Georgia family.
Oh.
Me and the guy next to me are watching the game on my phone at the table while speeches are going on, and audibly reacted to Walter Clayton deciding, no, let's not try this contested bunny. Let me just run backwards and hit a turnaround three for the lead with a minute left. Reacted to the point that the speech stopped. And they looked towards us, and we were like, Florida's winning.
Oh, my gosh.
We were like, Florida's winning.
Shout out.
So it's fine, because they walked in. They're also Braves fans, and she was a Seminole fan, so they walked in to the Chop, and that's when I remembered. I'm like, oh, we're surrounded.
I'll be honest with you. I just don't know if there's a worse combo I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't great, but
you got people doing a fake tomahawk chop and people barking at you. You know what I mean?
You put me in a resort setting. We were down at Hutchinson Island, put me in a resort setting where there's a pool. I got the baby in the pool. Just pool bar, drinks on deck. Was in bad shape by the time the wedding showed up. So I'd let you know if Florida was winning at the FSU-Georgia wedding.
You just got to be careful with the drinks and the kid by the pool, man. Like, this show's
pretty big. Mom was there. Grandpa was there. Okay. Grandma was there. This wasn't a solo dad show. I've yet to be given solo dad privileges, certainly around the pool.
Yeah. No, don't blame your wife for that.
Oh, man.
No, yeah, I didn't get into anything crazy this weekend, man. It definitely just spent time with the fam. And it, wrapping up spring break. So I had my nephew and my son over here watching basketball and kicking it all weekend. Nothing special, man. I ain't finna bore y'all with my life. Nothing special going on.
I think I will be in San Antonio. Shout out to Florida Victorious, flying all three of us out. So it'll be my first flight.
I'm trying to get there. I'm flying. I got like two other Texas trips already lined up, so I don't want to like OD on Texas. But I'm very tempted with flying in at the beginning.
I was telling somebody two separate conversations. One, Max Garcia, if you're listening, sing the anthem. They asked Max
or come to on
sing
the
national anthem.
Or come on the podcast.
Text him right now. Do it.
Tell your story. Tell your story, and then you can do it in a
Texas the other one was somebody being like, "Man, it's so expensive," and I was like, "Just do it." How many times are you gonna see them in the Final Four? Like, oh, Florida's always there. Go, this is the sixth time ever.
Yeah,
ever. So like, no, yes.
If you can make the trip out there, San Antonio is a pretty cool little city. You can fly into Austin, you can fly into Houston, you can drive over, maybe a little bit more affordable. You just never know, right? During the Mike White time, we thought these days would never be here. You know what I mean? So
Mike made it to an Elite Eight.
So when is
But he didn't make it to a Final Four.
Yeah, but that's one game away.
Yeah, but he didn't. That's the thing.
When will we move on from like bashing Mike White? Like, let
it's him, just he, easy, right?
He,
so
he left. He left so much money on the table to go to a school that doesn't care about basketball.
Nick, I know you guys loved Mike White. Your whole little media group loved him, and I get it, right? He probably gave great interviews, gave you guys a bunch of access as a fan, which I am.
Basketball team when he was here.
Yeah. Anyway, so. Go check it out if you can. If I wasn't heading out of town next Tuesday to Sunday, I would definitely be there if you can get out there. Go support the boys in orange and blue. See, Nick, it's not just me.
I know it's not just you.
Company policy, man.
It's company policy. At some point, we just like move on.
Nah, man. We're
going to the Final Four. Why are we bringing up a coach at Georgia who barely made the tournament?
Because why not?
Because we just said it doesn't happen very often, and we weren't sure if it was ever going to happen again. You know what I mean? The standards were lowered in the Blanco administration. Not in my world.
That's funny. Yeah, boys, it's crazy. Well, overall, man, my weekend was pretty chill. I went up the road to Sarasota. Corey said, I ain't going to bore y'all with my dad life, but I definitely managed to find time to watch that game. Kicked it with my big bro. It was his little daughter's birthday. We enjoyed the game. Was at the edge of our seats all night. I definitely was doubting. I thought we was out of there, but got to stay strong if you're a Gator fan, baby, because them boys pulled through for us. So I was happy overall. I had a great weekend because of that. Me and my brother ended up taking a few more shots. We probably would have took it if they lost, but hey, I'm going to say it's because they won.
Right.
That's what's great.
Like, so being out, this is what I like. You know, the cigar bar that I had met you at that one time, Jordan. So yeah. I was over there at that cigar bar, pretty chill bar. I'm watching the game. And, you know, you're in South Florida. So it's Florida State fans and then Miami fans in there. But I'm pretty sure I was the only Gator in there.
For sure.
And bro, like, they was just the happiest, gleeest people. I got on my Gator hoodie and they looking over at me like, oh, look at that poor guy.
Right.
And when Walt hit that three, bro, I did a shimmy, a dance. Like Ray Lewis at the Super Bowl, bro. I went absolutely crazy in the people establishment, man. Big hype.
Yeah, no, I think I was at a bar in St. Pete, and the crowd, you could tell, was a little dejected. There's a lot of Gator fans, a few Texas Tech fans, and we're upstairs at this bar. Downstairs was full of, you know, just everybody else watching baseball and whatnot. You could tell the crowd was a little dejected. And then, you know, that 1-3, the rebound, I think it was the rebound, the three, and just the end of the run was just magical. And when the Gators went up by a point, I think the bar knew that this was kind of a predestined win for the Gators, that they were going to be able to hold this one out and to win that game, a gritty game, another, you know, game where they have to come from behind to outscore their opponent 18-4 to end the game is just, it's incredible. Not, no give up in these boys. You know, I'm not going to mention a last coach where we saw some give up when they went down. this team doesn't seem to want to give up, and they seem to play for each other. They play selflessly. While you're listening to this show, if you live in Jacksonville and you listen to 1010 XL with Ryan Green, you'll hear my interview with him that we recorded this morning. And that's the big message that I had was this team just doesn't give up, and they don't care who scores. They don't care who's got the game winning shot. Although it seems to be Walter Clayton all the time. This team just wants to win, and they want to play for each other. And I think you saw that again in true form and fashion, both on Thursday and on Saturday. But we're going to talk a little bit about basketball here. We'll talk a bit more formality here in a second. Corey, why don't we get a Brunt ad read, and then we're going to have Eric Fawcett join us here shortly, but we're going to run over those games real quick.
Alrighty. Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys or in the Southeast in general, hit my man Greg up, 954-589-2204. Or you can visit bruntinsurance.com. Home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, motorcycles, ATVs, anything with wheels, he can insure. Greg, what'd it do?
Greg, what'd it do, baby?
Before we get into the show, want to congratulate Kelly Ray Finley, the women's basketball coach who's playing, whose team is playing in the WBIT semifinals against Minnesota this morning. She had a baby boy, Lakin, that was delivered at 5 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So congratulations to Kelly Ray Finley. He's been on the show, big supporter of our show, and that's certainly an awesome you know, piece of news for her and for her family.
We're just pretty much like TMZ of podcast world.
We sure are. All right. Well, with that, Eric Fawcett's waiting. I do want to give a quick rundown. The Gators, obviously, do advance to the Final Four in San Antonio with an 87-71 win over Maryland on Thursday. Tight game at the end of the first half. Gators dominate Maryland throughout the game, out rebounding them 42-20, and ultimately secure that victory, where they went on to play Texas Tech, who again trailing 75-66 with less than 3 minutes left in the game, 18-4 run to end it. Walter Clayton scored 13 of his 30 points in the final few minutes of the game. Thomas Houck got 20 points and 11 rebounds in an 84-79 victory. And with that, wearing some vintage Stadium and Gale merchandise, we welcome from the Florida basketball, Eric Fawcett.
Let's go.
Drip on.
Yeah, I was close to putting a little sticker over and getting Jordan and Nick over top. Ran out of time a little bit, but hopefully you can at least appreciate the retro stuff. And again, I know you took a long way to travel to get to me, so have to represent whenever I can.
All right.
All right, Eric, let's get into it. Gators back in their first Final Four in, 17 years now. Give us the high level, man. Two victories. You know, the first one probably a little messy, and you know, a little closer than maybe Gator fans want, and obviously end up with a big victory. And then 3 minutes left in the game Saturday night. I think a lot of Gator fans had kind of assumed that this was going to be the end of their road. They fight back. Give us kind of the high level of this past week.
I mean, man, if you believe in destiny, if you believe in charmed teams or teams of destiny, I think you might look at those final minutes against Texas Tech and just say, how did the Gators possibly pull that one out. It was one of those things where you could have a discussion of, did the Gators claw their way back and steal that game, or did Texas Tech choke it away? And it really took both. Like, this is not one of those things where you make one or two shots. For two good free throw shooters on Texas Tech to miss the front end of one and ones and give up a whole bunch of points, that's just, you know, you could do that 99 times and they at least hit one or two of those, and that makes the game very different. Or, you know, in the building that Steph Curry built for Walter Clayton to channel him and hit some of those shots, sprinting from the paint back to the three-point line and pivoting on one foot and putting it up. There's just so much that needed to go right for the Gators and so much that needed to go wrong for Texas Tech, who's an awesome, fantastic team that played a great game. And this is just, it's just one of those things that I think if you even look back at pretty much every champion, even these UConn teams that just won back-to-back and really kind of dominated both seasons, they still had one moment per year where it looked like there was no chance that they could win. And it just seems like every team that wins a championship has one of those moments. And man, if we are looking back on this in a couple of weeks, that's certainly Florida. So yeah, anyone who's into the storybook nature of sports and college sports and a tournament run, I think maybe you look at that moment and you say, yeah, this Florida team might just be charmed.
Eric, I want you to talk nerdy to us for a second. There was, I can't remember the time, but there's probably like 5 minutes left or right before that run. And Todd elects like, hey, let's go two fouls to get them into the bonus. I think they had fouls to give. You probably don't want to foul Williams. Is that his name? Yeah. Messing his name up. Probably don't want to foul Williams. You're shooting like 84.6% free throw shooter. You probably fouled the wrong guy there. But you get away with it, misses the first end. Texas Tech misses two front ends. Florida goes 3-3-3-3-3. What is the nerdy analytic reason for fouling intentionally there?
So I would really push back. And I know it's being spun that way because Florida won. And when you win, suddenly you can start to say, oh, like meant to be that. You do not foul an 84% free throw shooter in the 1-1. There's no analytically sound. So for those of you who might be NBA fans who don't know what the 1-1 is, because of the two halves in college basketball, when you hit seven fouls, it's called a 1-1 situation. So if you make that first free throw, you get to shoot a second. But if you miss that first one, the ball's live. So there is, and Florida has used this in the past. Todd Golden has really used the 1-1 and analytical coaches can. If you send someone who's a 60% free throw shooter to the line, it's not a situation where they shoot two shots at 60% and maybe make one of them. If they miss that first one, then they get nothing. There is not a good analytical argument to foul a 84% free throw shooter. So I still think it's, you know, a little bit ambiguous whether Florida did it. And that's part of the reason we can sit here and laugh about it and say like, man, this Florida team might just be a team of destiny, because and that's why I said you run that back 99 or 100 times. And you'd think that Williams is going to knock down that first half of the 1-1 or then again, like Toppin on the second one, who's a 70% free throw shooter. Again, not great, but still that's over the threshold. But hypothetically, when you're down by nine, like you were saying, you're down whatever they were, 10, it's with a couple of minutes left and you go into desperation mode, you kind of also need to make moves that aren't necessarily the right thing to do in every situation. I mean, sometimes you put it all on black and you let the ball spin and you see what happens. And again, so I would not say it is a viable strategy entering this Final Four game if Florida finds themselves in the same situation to foul an 84% free throw shooter. But if it's 64, sure, that would be great. But it has been fun to see the reaction. And again, there's been lots of benefits to the math ball style, I'll have to say this is not one that I think you take and say, oh, this works. You know, you should be fouling 84% free throw shooters in the 1-1. You should not be. But again, one of the things that does at least just, you know, it's a chip in a chair. You do, even though that guy's a good free throw shooter, you just open yourself up to the chance that they have an empty possession and you go hit a three on the other end. And that was a massive swing and one of the reasons Florida won.
Eric.
Sound like a
what do you think about Hawk, right? I think he comes off the bench, he does give you starter minutes, right? He gives you a lot of you know, he plays, he gets the time of a starter. But I do think sometimes we start flat. And, you know, my argument and my take has been versus a team like Duke, I don't think we're going to be afforded a slow start. Even the second half, I thought, even if he didn't start the last game, coming out after halftime, I thought he should have started because we just needed that energy. You know, on the defensive end, loose balls, he just provides a different type of energy to the team. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's an awesome observation. And I kind of, you know, shot down Nick's advances at talking nerdy to him. But I can do that now, actually, because there are lineup data and numbers that talk about which combinations of players play the best together. And Florida's starting five is one of the worst starting fives that they could put out, or the worst combination of five players. With Ruben Chinyelu on the floor, the team performs worse than they do with him on the bench. And that's just that is fact. There are numbers to back that up. Now, this is also the same as last year when they started Micah Hanlockton, and the numbers suggested Alex Condon and Thomas Hauck were the best combination of front court players that should be on the floor together. So my answer to you is, like, Florida has played the same starters every single game this season outside of injury. And last year they played the same starters every single game of every season except for injury. So I'm not anticipating any changes, but I also agree with you. I definitely think Hauck should start. And I can tell you unquestionably the team is at their best when it's Alex Condon and Thomas Hauck in the front court. There's no ambiguity. And I do think you see, I think he played only 11, or Chinyelu only played 11 minutes against Texas Tech. And he had some rough moments. And there was just a couple times where he unfortunately missed a layup where it didn't catch rim and turned the ball over after he had a post up, and Golden just couldn't get him off the floor quick enough. And, you know, and again, that was the risk you took when you took a player who was really Washington State's fourth big man in their rotation. And this actually happened to him last year where he couldn't play in the NCAA tournament for Washington State. He only got in for a couple of minutes. So things have been a little tough for him, but again, physicality, athleticism, effort, there's a lot there that's good with Chinyelu, but it does seem once the basketball gets to a little bit of a higher level, he struggles. And I think Hauck is spectacular. I think he was Florida's best player against Texas Tech, which is crazy to say, given that Walter Clayton had the nuclear couple of minutes to win the game for the Gators. But Walter Clayton wasn't great in the first half, and Thomas Hauck was on both ends.
He was intertwined in that 2 minutes as well. Like, he was intertwined in that whole. Yeah, mm-hmm. He had two big shots, man, down the stretch there. For sure.
Yeah. So for him, I mean, he's one of the most important defensive players, and he got really targeted by Williams, someone who's a really big post-up player, and he got Hauck a couple times, but Hauck got him a few times too, and that was the biggest defensive assignment, and Hauck did awesome. And then on the offensive end, his ability, he had some of those blow-by layups because he's 6'9" with these massive strides, and he's one dribble and three steps from a layup. So I thought his game was absolutely spectacular. I thought he was truly Florida's best player. While I agree with you that Florida's best five is Hauck on the floor in place of Chinyelu, I wouldn't anticipate a change just because that's not what Florida does. But I will say this, and I know we're starting to talk hypothetical matchups. You mentioned Duke. I mean, man, you need someone to guard Cooper Flagg at the four. And I don't think that's going to be if Florida starts the same way and it's Cooper Flagg at the four. And it's, you know, that matchup prototypically with how Florida starts, that would be Alex Condon on a bad ankle. That's scary. Or, you know, so I would, that would be very interesting. Would the Gators change their starting lineup after 30 whatever games? It's hard to imagine, but that you could just see the quick pull and get Hauck in there. And yeah, he's got to be an upwards of 30 minute guy. No question.
Yeah. I was just looking, we had Evan Mayakawa on the show a few, I guess maybe 6 weeks ago now. And he does a lot of advanced analytics, and the only player that's listed in their best for Florida, the best two-man, three-man, four-man, and five-man lineups for the Florida Gators is? You guys have a guess?
Active participants here. But yeah. Like I said, all the numbers are pointed to the same way. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were doing Eric. We were all on the show.
On the best two, three, four, and five-man rosters that the Gators could potentially put together, Thomas Hauck is the only one listed on all four of those lineups.
Yeah, and we're at the point where that's why I'm glad you looked up those numbers, because it doesn't take, you know, you don't need to get too cute with it. Anything that evaluates player plus minus lineup data, five man, which is the best in my opinion, where at the end of the season, all kinds of sample size. And again, it's not even just this year. You can even go back to last year when Florida was starting Micah Hanlocked in, and this the numbers were the same thing. When Hauk is on the floor with Connan, things are at their best. Of course, they also had Tyre Samuel at the time, which was in there as well. But yeah, and which again just speaks to how incredible Hauk's career has just been in 2 years as someone who wasn't a particularly heralded recruit. And he's someone who is just Florida's best player in an Elite Eight game, and someone that Silk's already looking forward to a national championship game and said, like, hey, we need Hauk in the starting lineup and playing an important role.
I did see a mock draft with him today at number 34.
Bleacher Report, yeah.
Yeah, that tournament bump is real for sure, but you know, he's got the length, he's got the versatility. It's talking about next year's roster when the Gators are in a Final Four does seem just a little crazy to me. I know people on Twitter and some of the message boards want to already start talking portal and who's returning, whatever. I'm like, man, let's focus on this Final Four and let the figure things out later. But yeah, certainly interesting to see him and entering that high second round in mock drafts. And I think it just, again, speaks to the eyeballs that are now on this Florida team.
It's interesting because I was talking to your podcast host and he said he had talked to a scout in the NBA and they think that his ball handling, he can play as a big guard at the next level. Obviously playing as a four here at Florida, but I think that kind of versatility, if he's viewed like that, to steal a line from Tim Tebow, I don't need all 32 teams to like me. I just need one. If there's one team in the NBA that thinks, hey, he could play a small four, or he could be a big guard for us too. So that'll be interesting. But if you're enjoying this basketball run, there will be a lot of turnover in the offseason. Donate to Florida Victorious as we look to fund the 25-26 Florida Gators basketball team. Eric, when I watched this team, it was interesting to me. And we had Neil on, and I mentioned, hey, I don't think Florida, uses that many players. And then the injuries started, and you started to get a ton of minutes and starts for Denzel Aberdeen. Urban started playing more. You started getting these guys more minutes, but you're not really seeing that now. Maybe Denzel. Do you think Denzel or Florida is better for having gone through those injuries and getting more guys minutes now?
I've really always been someone who said that I think that depth is underrated in the regular season and overrated in the postseason. And it is one of those things that, hey, we'll see if there needs to be a moment for an Aberdeen coming off the bench and doing something big or a Klobzar to come in and knock down some shots. But I mean, I feel like ultimately it comes down to your best six or maybe seven guys. And, respectfully to those guys who I think are good players that you're talking about. If we're at a situation where Aberdeen is really pushed into service and needs to have a big game, or if Klobzar needs to have a big game for the Gators, like something has went fairly wrong. And I'm not sure at this point of the tournament, that would bode well. Maybe that's something that, earlier in the tournament, you look for some big moments there. But at this point, I think like this is high level basketball. This is one of the best Final Fours college basketball has ever seen. And there's a number of ways to talk about that. Like these are going to be two incredible games for whoever goes on to win the championship. And I think you're Florida is going to win or lose this with their five starters plus Thomas Hauk, in my opinion. But hey, well, we'll see if you'll see if I'm wrong, but I think those are the guys you look to. And it's great that depth was really able to help Florida in the regular season. And the fact that the guards you mentioned were able to step up when Martin and Clayton were injured, but man, you need your best to be your best right now. And maybe less depth.
Look forward to having you on next Monday. Right before actually it'll be national championship. You have to push it Tuesday.
I was actually going to ask you guys.
We'll do a pop-up show this weekend. We'll do a pop-up show this weekend after Denzel goes for 30 against Auburn.
That's it. That was a programming note I was going to have to ask you guys about it, because if the Gators are in the national championship game, it'll be right during your normal recording time on Monday. So, I was going to see what you guys what your plans might be if the Gators are in that one.
How mad would TNT get if I was like live streaming from courtside press row? Just like turning the camera around, like, hey, by the way, you just watch the game from courtside here. I think I'm going to see it taken away pretty quickly. Yeah.
Those Delatory Plus memes from several years ago would be back.
Yeah. Yeah, they're back.
Wow. I forgot about Delatory Plus.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris Zen for making that Delatory Plus.
I put on the old Stadium and Gale shirt and suddenly all the old references are back.
That's right.
What nostalgic. You know, I think there's a lot to what you say. Like when you get to the postseason, you know, I talk about in baseball a lot. People are like, why is this guy still hitting him? Like it's the NCAA tournament. You're going with your nine guys. The season Walt has had, when did you or maybe anybody know that, hey, he can have this kind of shot? Like you said, he channeled Steph Curry in the building that Steph built. I think some of those shots that he made and two, looking at towards the end, it was almost like, hey, our offense is going to be Walt, run around until you feel like shooting it. And we'll hand you the ball. We'll pass you the ball. We'll run an off ball screen. We'll do a handoff screen. Just like whenever you feel like pulling up, pull up.
Yeah. So I think for me, something that was almost a little lost just because it was a bitter game when the Gators lost to Colorado in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year. And the final score is 102-100 for Colorado, but it was really a game that Colorado was absolutely controlling by multiple possessions. And Walter Clayton went absolutely insane in the last couple of minutes to just give the Gators a chance. And it was one of those things that if Florida was able to pull out that game, Walter Clayton is already a March hero. So I already look back to like that game and his heroics there. And you know, he has some of those big March moments. And then when you look at this year, because Florida played a pretty soft non-conference schedule, they just didn't really have any of those moments in November and December that really suggested that, that really just gave him an opportunity to take over. Like Florida just like didn't play close games. But the first one that really came was in the SEC opener against Kentucky. And again, the Gators ultimately lost that one. And it was another game where it could have gotten ugly, but Walter Clayton, 33 points, started going crazy in the last few minutes and putting the team on his shoulders and pulling up. And again, it shows just how there's a lot of styles of player that can have success in basketball. But when you have someone that can shoot off the dribble from range, you're always going to have moments like this. And again, like there is some, I don't want to say holes to Walter Clayton's offensive game, but he's not someone who's going to cross you up, take it into the paint, take contact and finish for an and one, not really as much as game. And there's a lot of advantages to having downhill guards like that. But even a player who does that, they're not going to bring you back when you're down 10 to Colorado or when you're down 10 to Texas Tech and bring you back in. Like you need these kinds of shots. And that's why even in college basketball circles, there's a lot of people that talk about who's going to be this year's Kemba candidate. For those of you who might remember Kemba Walker with a legendary crossover, broke a guy's ankles, hit a huge shot. Like cardiac Kemba made it happen. And now everyone always talks about who's going to be this year's Kemba candidate. And I think that it's not even so much like who's going to be the hero, but who has that ability to cross someone up and hit a shot from range. Like that is, I feel like a style you need in March when the game is going to get cranked up from a physicality and defensive intensity standpoint. Good luck getting to the rim and finishing, and good luck getting a call because the ref is swallowing his whistle in that moment. So the guys that really rely on that style of play, it's going to be harder for them to operate versus if you can hit on a step back from 30 feet, that's always going to be there for you. And that is something where I think I even wrote at Gator Country 6 weeks ago or something, mentioning that I was like, Florida has the perfect guard for March. And we saw it against Texas Tech.
Eric, go ahead. Do you think Condon's, he's just not playing? Do you think it's just the ankle or is it a little bit of confidence as well? Like, what do you think his struggles are right now?
I think it's got to be the ankle. Just because I look at his game both this year and last year, and one of the things about him is it has been consistency. He is someone who's not a boom or bust guy. He's just rock solid from a defensive standpoint, rock solid with the way he runs in transition and gets under the rim and finishes strong. And it's pretty easy to see the lack of confidence he seems to have the moment he gets airborne or the moment he gets the ball near the rim and doesn't really want to elevate in traffic. It's you know, playing body language doctor a little bit, but just given his track record in college where he has been very consistent. And again, looking at the film where as soon as he starts pivoting, especially on that ankle. It's looking pretty tender and looks like he's not confident making the same kind of cuts leaping in traffic. So for someone who has been really Florida's second best player on a lot of nights this season, that is something that I do think is going to be somewhat of a concern, particularly against an Auburn team that is built kind of, well, I'll say kind of like Florida, just in the front court more in the sense that they play a lot of size and really play through the interior. This is going to be a game where his particularly defense is going to be challenged. And you hope here that this week off is really big. And again, I forget if we talked about it on the podcast, but of course, I don't need to tell the story. Everyone's heard it a million times at this point. He was Australian rules football player who transitioned to basketball fairly late. But I think it was kind of, which again, it's a story that's been played out so much. But when he rolled his ankle for the first time, he mentioned he had never rolled his ankle before in his life. And I was like, if there's something that truly confirms this guy has just only recently started playing basketball, that was it right there. The fact that a guy could be 20 years old rolling his ankle for the first time in his life. But at the same time, I heard that story. And I mean, I laugh at it for the reason I just mentioned to you. But also I'm like, oh, he's only rolled his ankle once. This is not a familiar feeling to him. And it seems like he is the way that he doesn't yet trust it is maybe of someone who has never experienced this before. And I totally understand it for someone whose game is so much running in transition and finishing in traffic. Yeah. Having a tender ankle is not a good feeling.
Buddy, I was a menace on the 8-foot rims in middle school, an absolute menace. You're going to roll your ankle when you're playing above the rim. Like I did at the mean streets of St. Gregory.
Great man talking about, man.
I see a lot of familiarity between Nick's game and Alex Condon's game. I want to ask you.
Basically the same people.
No doubt. I believe you
100%.
I want to ask you, we were talking a little bit about defense and defensive efficiency. We didn't see much of Urban Klavjar. I don't want to call him Urban because that's how you say it. We didn't see much of him. We didn't see him against Texas Tech. Kind of talked a little bit about it when I was watching the game Thursday, kind of time to shrink the roster a little bit as you get to these final games. Is it just the defensive part of his game, or is it just, hey, the Gators have to go with who they know the most right now and just rely on those guys?
Yeah, the thing with Klavzar is he's someone who's, of course, undersized, and he's someone that in his whole career has been a primary ball handler, someone who has the rock a ton, is playing out of ball screens, is finding teammates coming off pins. So the problem with that from a bench player standpoint is like, you know, what's he going to do coming into the game? If you play that style and take the ball out of Walter Clayton's hands? No.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to take the ball out of Condon's hands? No. Are you going to take the ball out of how? So it's hard for that player archetype. Gotcha. That is a true point guard, a ball dominant guy, to come in on a team that starts Will Richard, Elijah Martin, and Walter Clayton. So that's one thing where I just don't feel the fit is great. And that's where Aberdeen has been someone who at least can come in and guard multiple positions. And that's how he's kind of worked as a complementary player, can knock down shots off the catch. And so I do think offensively the fit is pretty clunky for Klavzar, unfortunately. And even when he has been out there next to Walter Clayton, it's not the best way to get the best out of Klavzar, who's at his best when he's running a bunch of ball screens, which Florida is not going to be like, well, oh, our eighth guy's in the game, let's start focusing our offense around him. It's just not how it works when you have Walter Clayton on the team. And then, of course, the other side of it is like, well, if he's not going to be a superb offensive weapon, well, he is going to be somewhat of a liability on the other end because he's not athletic, he's not quick, and he's 5'11". So it's something that I never felt totally like the fit was great. And I do think he's a better player than he has shown. But when you look at Florida's rotation, there's just not a particular spot you feel great for him in. And it does kind of make sense for Aberdeen to be your one guard off the bench, which is all Florida really needs. If you've got your three starters on the perimeter that are all going to play 30 plus minutes. It makes sense for Aberdeen to be out there, a guard with a little bit more length. And it's tough for Klavzar, but that's again, probably going down the conversation, what Florida's roster will look like next year, where they will certainly need some guard replacements. But right now I don't see him factoring in, but he's also, if something does happen, which again, I told Nick earlier, I was like, if we're talking about Aberdeen and Klobsar performances against Auburn. It probably means the game didn't go super well. But again, I know I mentioned on the last show, Klobsar is someone who has a ton of professional experience in a really good league in Spain. I mean, not a guy that's going to be rattled if he does get called upon. But yeah, I'm not anticipating him playing a big role here.
Eric, you are an adopted Gator fan. You picked us. What has this season been like? You've covered Florida for a long time. What has this season been like? And I think, you know, I've told people this, you kind of lose your fandom when you're covering them and you're trying to be analytical and you're trying to be fair. But have you had a time this year? It's kind of just like, man, this is fun. I used to cover four losses in a month and four in a year.
Yeah, man, what a great question. I appreciate you asking because this is my seventh year writing about the Gators, which is crazy. I mean, yeah, 7 years ago, Nick, we got on Skype at the time to talk with you and Andrew and Bernadette and the Gator Country crew to bring me on. And since then, as I'm sure everyone listening to this and you guys on the call, like, you're a very different person than you were 7 years ago. And your life has changed in a lot of ways from 7 years ago. And for me, as someone who came from Canada or still in Canada, who loved basketball more than anything and was a high school basketball coach, I was like, well, I'm never going to really have a chance to coach at a particularly high level, but I could write. So I started writing about the team. And in the 7 years, particularly starting about 3 years ago, when I did get my opportunity to coach at a higher level, now I'm a professional basketball coach. And you know what, like that passion has really gone up for the coaching side. And that really fuels me. And while I love writing about basketball, I love having skin in the game. And I'll just be honest with you, the desire to write about a team that interest was really waning in, it went down a little bit, like let's be honest. So I think for it to have a season like this that really reminded me of why I wanted to start writing in the first place, not just to be connected to basketball in some ways, but I mean, like, man, I really do, like, I love sports just like we all do. And I still think so fondly upon when I was a kid, the people whose articles I would, you know, Google to try to find my favorite writers who were writing about the Blue Jays and the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Gators on Bleacher Report back in the day, I think is what I always would try to just find some aggregated Florida content. And again, it's something that means so much to me that now I can be someone who really helps increase someone else's enjoyment of the team. And I do think that has been illuminated even more with basketball, where a lot of people in the Florida world that might be might be football fans first, that are now trying to get a deeper level of basketball analysis. And the fact that I can be that for people and bring them a kind of deeper enjoyment. And I think that's just like the biggest compliment that I get from people is when they say your analysis has helped me enjoy Gators basketball more or enjoy college basketball more. Or even people that say, oh, I was watching the NBA and I saw something you guys talked about. And because I could recognize, oh, that's a Spain ball screen, I suddenly enjoyed it a lot more. Like, that does mean so much to me. So yeah, I'll be honest. I have been really like refreshed by this year in a way that, I obviously wasn't expecting it. You know, writing and covering the team did become probably somewhat of a job at some point. But to have conversations like this and to have people that are genuinely super interested in basketball, and it's been awesome. It really has been a fun year. And this is something that I've been talking about with my wife, and no one's really asked me about it until now. So I appreciate the chance to air it out a bit.
Do those fans stop you in the bathroom stall?
No, it's just Dan.
Eric, I know you got a lot of things, but maybe you don't
wait,
listen.
Hold on, Eric. PSA: yeah. If anyone listening does see Dan out and about, wait to introduce yourself to him until you're both in the bathroom.
Okay.
Preferably at matching urinals.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times in the last few months, Eric, where people have come up to me and say that they're a big fan of the show. Why midstream? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
one was urinal to urinal, which like is what it is, right? Like that's where they're. The one guy that called out from like the number two stall to me, I'm like, all right, you know, now we got
to look at it. Big fan. Can you stop poo-pooing on our fans, please, while they're poo-pooing and saying hi to you?
Well, Eric, I want to, you know, as we get you off the show, and we really appreciate you coming on tonight and talking to us. I think you're our most recurring guest that we've ever had, so we do appreciate that. To be able to watch your ascension over the last, you know, 7 or so years, you were talking to us 6 years ago when the podcast started, about 6 years ago now, and it's been really cool to watch your career grow and blossom. And, you know, if you're not listening to Eric and Neil's podcast, the Florida Basketball Hour, if you're not following Eric for some of the wonky basketball stuff, if that's the world that you're in, but if you ultimately just want a good guy and a good person, Eric is one of the best. So definitely encourage you to follow him and continue to root and cheer him on. He's my favorite Canadian.
Sub to the Patreon.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much. I know I joked about it the last time I was on, but I know you guys kind of like would have me on sometimes to kind of just, you know, check the box that you were
talking
a little bit about basketball, and I understood that. And that was going to be the other answer to your question, Nick, about what it was like to cover some of those teams and versus this one. And again, as someone who just wants to see people engage with sports in a way that makes their life better and brings them joy. I mean, it's been awesome to have a team that's not only winning, but playing a style that people really like and is fun to watch and has a bunch of personalities that people love. So it has been good. And framing it in the way of like the 6 years of this show, having me on, we've seen so much change.
There's been a lot of iterations. Look at your shirt.
There's been a lot of iterations, and of course, has been. I don't know if you guys thought you'd be doing it this long, but of course, for you guys to be to have kind of the preeminent Florida podcast in so many things, I think it's so cool to watch you guys and all that you've done as well.
Eric, before we leave, we did fail, and Rob mentioned it. Quick breakdown on Auburn. What can you tell us? We know Jani Broom suffered some sort of arm injury. Didn't really look like himself the second half after that injury. Gators obviously beat Auburn earlier in the season, a lot behind actually Urban Klavsar's 9 points that he got in that game. Break that game down for us just in a minute or two.
Yeah, that was crazy because Auburn was on, like, I believe a 14-game winning streak. They were absolutely rolling everyone in college basketball. And for Florida to come in and win that game decisively was just an absolute, you know, warning shot to everyone else in college basketball, what was coming from the Gators. And I think what shows that Florida truly did beat a really good team, that it wasn't like Florida didn't expose Auburn as frauds. After Florida beat them, Auburn won their next 6 games in a row, dominant, you know, blowing out some of the other top teams in the SEC. And in a year, the SEC was stronger than it's ever been. Auburn locked up the number one seed with 2 games remaining. So again, I think that was crazy. Florida was getting everything offensively they wanted. Talked about that on my Patreon, on a film study we do. But again, Hauk was amazing on the perimeter, driving guys down off the some of these bigger guys that are much more comfortable in the paint. That was a good matchup for the Gators. And then Auburn's season has been kind of weird because again, because they'd completely locked up the SEC, they didn't try at all in their last 2 regular season games. Lost those. And then when they tried to flip the switch back in the SEC tournament, they didn't. They played really poorly. And suddenly you've got a team that was absolutely rolling everyone in college basketball, looking like one of the strongest teams college basketball has ever seen. And suddenly they're playing their worst basketball going into March. But it looks like they found it a little bit with what they did in their last game against Michigan State. Again, Jani Broom, one of the best players in the country, knocking down threes, as hard to stop as anyone in the country when he's got 2 feet in the paint. That's obviously going to be a huge challenge. But like you said, he took a crazy fall. He didn't practice today, but is supposed to be good to go. Well, you know, he should play Saturday. No one said he was that good to go, but that could be the other maybe break that Florida gets if this is some kind of
charm. Because there's a left arm injury, right?
Yeah, and it was.
And he's a left-hander.
If you watch the clip, you would be like, there's no way this guy's ever playing again. And then he got back on the court and hit a three right away. Yeah. So that'll be something to watch. For sure. But I think Auburn is one of those teams that doesn't strike you with a ton of talent up and down. They really do play disciplined. They play with a great amount of structure and their pieces fit really well. So it has been a really good story, in my opinion, because when you can have such a great season without having a ton of talent. But maybe that'll end here against the Gators, who've already beaten them once.
It was cool. Nice of Alex Condon to let Jani Broom out of his pocket after that game and play the rest of the season.
Yeah, so, that was another storyline going for that one.
Eric, I got a question for you. I know in football, it's a little hard to kind of beat a team twice. What's your chances you think we got of actually getting these guys a second time around, like you just mentioned?
We just saw it with Tennessee and Kentucky. Kentucky handled Tennessee twice, and now they had to play a third time, and Tennessee got smoked.
Right. That's why I feel like in basketball, it's a little bit different sometimes. Maybe you can get the best of somebody a couple times, but I just want to know your take and your opinion on how good of a chance you think we had to actually beat these guys, considering – they were supposed to hand us an L earlier in the year, and we ended up giving them an L. So, you know, they're kind of on their revenge kind of tip and want to get the best of us. So I just want to know your take on everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that just kind of strikes me is just a reminder of how long the season is and how long ago February 8th felt like when that game was. So there is so much time that has passed, and it does feel like both teams are playing different. I mean, Thomas Houck did play a great game then, but I don't think anyone was looking at Houck as one of Florida's best players. Now he's emerged as someone who's as important as ever. And again, I do feel like Auburn got a little bit bored with the way that they were playing. That was really dominant because it was so structured and slow. And now they're playing a bit of a looser style that has made for more excitement, but has also handed them some losses. So I do feel like in basketball, teams reinvent themselves a lot more than in football. And again, I'm not a football expert, so you guys, maybe I'm totally wrong on that, but I do feel like over the course of a long basketball season, teams just reinvent themselves so much more. And for that reason, I do feel like it's a bit of a toss up when it comes to the second matchup. Or you know, you mentioned the perfect one where Kentucky was running Tennessee out of the gym in the regular season, and Tennessee is playing a completely different style now and was able to handle that game easily. So I almost treat this game with Auburn like it's a new matchup. Like, again, I hope Florida comes in with the confidence of like, hey, we blasted these guys when they were playing the best basketball of anything college basketball has seen in the last couple of years. So I hope Florida has that confidence. But from my standpoint, I'm kind of looking at it as like, this is kind of a different Florida team that's better. And mm-hmm. this is just a different Auburn team. And I think it's going to have kind of a fresh look on Saturday.
Yeah. And Florida did not play with Elijah Martin and Micah Hanlockton during that game as well. So we will see. Eric, we've taken up a lot of your time this evening. We appreciate you joining us from beautiful Edmonton, Canada. Let everybody know where they can follow you. And we will hopefully talk to you next time as national champions.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I'll be keeping an eye on the Twitter account to see when you guys decide what you're going to do on Monday if Florida's in the championship. So that'll be interesting. But for anyone who wants to follow me, Eric Fawcett_ is on Twitter. GatorCountry.com is where you can find all my articles. As soon as I hang up, I'm going to go record the next episode of Florida Basketball Hour, our Florida basketball podcast. And we do have a Patreon as well, where I go through film studies lots and say, okay, this is let's go look back at the film from when Florida beat Auburn and see what can happen. But as always, thanks guys. And I hope this isn't the last time we're speaking this season.
It won't be. Thanks so much, Eric. I appreciate you. And go support them. Go support their podcast. I tell everybody that I'm a basketball front runner, but I still listen to that one each and every week. So thanks so much, Eric. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys, let's wrap this segment up. One quick ad read, though, for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. Anything that you want, they've got Final Four apparel. Corey even mentioned it. You got to be able to hand stuff down to your kids and grandkids one day, or sell it to somebody that collects vintage Gatorware, you know? So go get your vintage, your soon-to-be vintage Final Four wear over at Alumni Hall. Go visit them again on Archer Road in Gainesville or at alumnihall.com. All sports, all shapes and sizes, all ages, accessories, all that other stuff. So alumnihall.com. Gators are a 2.5-point favorite against Auburn. Over under, the last time I checked, was 160.5. I like the Gators. I like the Gators in this one.
I always like the Gators. So
just can't start off slow.
Well, I think we're fine. I think we can start slow. Don't want to start slow. We need a complete game. We haven't played a complete game yet. So I think if we get a complete game, I feel better going into the finals if we beat Auburn, if I get a complete game. But I'm not scared of starting slow versus Auburn. Don't want to, but I feel good in that matchup.
They did it before. Do it again. thoughts.
Good. I'm a little scared, but I'm ready to go to war with my boys.
There you go.
Oh man, I'm always
gonna
nervous,
go bro. Sit down on his couch ready for war. He's I'm here for you, baby. Yeah, I'm doing it's like that mean. I'm doing my part, you know.
Right, homemade old fashioned. I'll be screaming at the TV. What else you want from me, brother?
Just shout out to the timing gods.
Old fashioned and eye black.
I've got
it. Let's go.
I've got an event Saturday evening. I was a little worried about watching this game. It starts after the game starts. So shout out to CBS or who's ever planning this event. I appreciate that.
Right. They knew what was going on.
They knew it. They knew Dan had to go see two friends at the Cuban Club in Ybor City Saturday night.
Some of the things, Corey, that Dan has to do just seem awesome.
Yeah,
had to go golfing twice this week.
It's just vibes. I gotta go to this, man. I don't
had to be gonna, on the boat all day Thursday. It's just
they're gonna make me drink a couple old fashions. I really don't want to, man.
had to polish off a 12 of Nooners on the boat today during Thursday.
It's just my cross.
Somebody's gotta drink these. This 12,
you know what?
It's my cross to bear.
We love that you carry the cross.
You know,
so strongly.
Your shoulders are heavy. Shoulders are heavy, but somebody's got to do it. If not, then who?
Yeah.
You know? You know? Remember, every time you're pointing a finger at somebody else to do it, there's 3 pointing back at you, and sometimes you just...
Give him a slow clap, bro.
You have to do it. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit. Let's switch stuff. Any final discussions on basketball? I feel like we got our basketball segment kind of cleared up there.
I'm excited. If you have any, we will be doing an event. I think we should have Fleur Victorious. We should have if you're there, it's going to be free for members. And then we'll have a cover fee if you're not a member at the door. But we will be doing an event, not officially announced yet. I think we'll have that tomorrow for you, Tuesday. Today, if you're listening to this after the fact, after the live show, at a real cool spot. But if you have Riverwalk recommendations, they have to be baby friendly. Because the baby will be with me, along with the wife.
Nick, the entire Riverwalk is baby and family friendly. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. It's pretty wholesome, man.
Yeah, it's a very wholesome place. It's right across from the Alamo. If you're looking the opposite direction, you'll walk right past Alamo. It's just not as big as I thought, you know? I think a lot got destroyed, you know? Shout out to Davy Crockett and the gang.
Listen, I remember it
for fighting the fight, but you know, I thought it was.
I'm
not gonna lie, Corey. I thought it was gonna be bigger when I saw it.
What is wrong with you, man? What is wrong with you, man?
I thought it was gonna be bigger. I thought it was.
Nah, they lost, man.
You know, but shout out to the Alamo.
Real quick, Rob. Yes, he is committing, but he is a Miami kid. So disregard whatever time. Disregard whatever time he said.
I've got the live stream running next to this one. So once he does, we'll announce it on the show. They're talking about Javari Flowers, nicknamed J-Rock. Nicknamed J-Rock. That is, you know, Rob, I realize that what I was saying can get misconstrued. So I am talking about the Alamo. All right. So last week, the Gators hosted a pro day. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, we are. So Gators held their 2025 day last Thursday, 20 prospects, 18 of whom played for Florida. Desmond Watson, 464 pounds, bench pressed 225 pounds 36 times, which would have put him 3 above anybody at the NFL scouting combine. There, he is now on a little bit of a media circuit. He was on Chad Johnson and Shannon Sharpe's podcast yesterday, I believe. So shout out to Big Dez.
Yeah, the 464, not great.
Would be the heaviest player in NFL history.
When you finish school, Jordan will tell you, whether you finish it or when you leave, that those last 3 months, you are getting ready for a job interview. So the 464, we've been saying this about Dez for 4 years. Like, yeah, he moves great for somebody that size, but like, what would he move like at 420, at 415, at 400? He moves incredibly well. Obviously, unbelievably strong. Really funny. Ocho Cinco is known for his McDonald's diet. Offered his nutritionist services, and Dez hit him with the I've seen your nutrition plan. That's how I got to this point.
Yeah,
which was funny. But like, listen, Dez is a really, really cool, really, really cool kid. Dealt with some stuff that I think has contributed to the weight gain and his weight fluctuating. But I wish him nothing but the best for him. He's a great human being. And maybe somebody in the NFC East wants to take Dez to try to stop the tush push at Philly.
Just seems like the NFL might stop the tush push in general.
Ooh.
I see somebody tweet that that he could possibly be the tush push terminator. It's hilarious, man. Now, that's a good look for Big Dez, though, man. I think, you know, he's a good kid. So to get that type of attention from that type of platform, I think it's dope. Didn't run the greatest, lift good. You know, I mean, how fast? He's a minivan. Like, how fast do you think he's going to run a 40?
5.93.
Nearly as fast as Xavier Restrepo.
That was pretty impressive for his size. I mean, obviously, it's slow, yes, but that's
– Jordan, Corey, Nick, you too. I know you were doing more 60s. I want to put into – I mean, he ran 60-yard dashes instead of the 40, right? Or 60-foot.
60 feet.
A 5.93 is slow compared to what you're used to seeing at the NFL Combine. A 5.93 is probably faster than most normal people can run a 40-yard dash.
That's what I was getting at. Like, it's a lot of dudes that's out here chirping can't even bust out, like, under six.
Yeah. Just
be facts.
I'm not, like, being facetious here, and I know there's going to be somebody in the comments that say, I ran it at a 5.3 or whatever. Most normal human being, adult males, that definitely don't weigh anywhere close to that are not beating a 5.93.
So you got to do a 225 one time.
Yeah. That 225 comes crashing down on their neck.
Somebody call help.
Yeah, I think my max at 225 was like 11, 12 at my best.
That's impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
My 60 time on my perfect game profile, bad. But that was a slow track. It rained.
Yeah, that was all the track.
Early morning conditions weren't ideal. I think
probably headwind.
Significant headwind. I think it was hurricane season.
A hurricane,
it was,
you know,
hurricane season. Right. Yeah, it was uphill. I don't know why they made me run uphill. A lot of things going against me that day. Only ran it one time, and it was a laser time too.
That laser ain't nobody friend.
No, the lasers never made a friend.
All right, let's get through a few of these others. Jason Marshall, 4.43 40, 37-inch vertical jump. Triquez Bridges, notably not at the NFL Combine, got a 4.38 40, which was the fastest amongst everybody there. Pardon me, at a 34.5-inch vertical. I think Triquez is maybe, if not drafted, definitely a undrafted free agent early pickup.
I think he gets drafted. He was robbed by not getting a combine invite, but he ran really well. He has good tape at Oregon and UF, versatility between, you know, slot, corner, safety, a lot of versatility there. I think he gets drafted.
He made some money
with that 4.3.
Great performance by him. RJ Moten, 4.48 40, 36.6-inch vertical. Jamarcus Weston, 28 bench presses and a 4.59 40. Again, a guy that could be a special teams guy. Derek Wingo, 24 bench presses, 4.78 40, 33-inch vertical jump. Joey Slackman, this one's interesting. 27 bench press, 26.5-inch vertical, but said that teams are looking at him potentially for offensive line rather than defensive line. So
he did offensive line drills as well. Like when they do field drills, he did both defensive line and offensive line drills. I talked with him. I wonder if you have anything. Your experience might have been different too, Jordan. Was your pro day? They didn't even have the IPF yet, did they?
Yeah, we did.
Okay,
bro.
well, not as long as Max Garcia, but like Max Garcia was back. And so he took last year off. He had a couple, he was going through some personal stuff, took last year off, turned down a couple like,
Nick, I got to interrupt you here. Guys.
Yeah.
Got to interrupt. We have a commitment announcement from Javari Flowers to the University of Florida. We told everybody we'd break it down on the show as it happened in real time. Javari J-Rock Flowers has announced his commitment to the University of Florida. He is a four-star cornerback out of Northwestern High School down in Miami.
I had to bring my Northwestern colors, bro. You see me?
Florida notably beat out Notre Dame and the University of Miami for his commitment. Ranked as a top 100 player on the 247 composite, 82nd overall, the number 12 cornerback in the country, and the number 12 player in the country. So the Gators do get Javari Flowers to add to their 2026 recruiting class.
Let's get it, baby. Another baby Gator on the team. I love it.
No, that's a really good get. Already loaded DB room. This DB class now is probably one of the best on paper. You know, this is no games being played, but just what we acquire is pretty impressive. Down the stretch, they flip Drake Stubbs from Miami. They flip Lagonza Haywood from Texas. Onis from Tennessee. They keep Ben Hanks, and now they bring Flowers on. That's a very impressive class. Flowers is a 10-400 meter guy, state champion on track, state champion on the football field. So he comes from a winning program. It's a really good get. I think he's a guy that can contribute year one in special teams. We got some fast guys that could possibly return punts and kicks, but I think he's probably has the best just return tape since like Devin Hester, in my opinion.
Okay. So there we are. Gators grab Javari Rogers, J-Rock. So that'll be the Gators' fourth commitment with Isaiah Williams, Will Griffin, and Devin Jackson. We'll pause that topic and we'll go back to indoor practice facility conversation. Sorry, Nick, I didn't want to interrupt.
I was talking to Max Garcia, and because he was going through some pro day stuff, and he was like, yeah, we had to do it out there. I remember one year we were in the swamp and it was raining, and I'm like, bro, this is the most important job interview you're ever going to have in your life, and we're out here trying to make guys run 40s in the rain.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal.
One guy I didn't expect to have, I think probably had the best pro day, was RJ Moten. I don't think he's going to get drafted.
No.
But I was joking with Hayden Hansen, because I was standing there with Hayden watching RJ Moten go through his linebacker drills, and everything. I don't know who was throwing. I don't want to throw shade on whoever it is. but the passes were not great. Whoever the student was throwing, and RJ Moten was coming down with everything. And I was like, yo, Hayden, you need to try to catch like RJ when Graham starts throwing to you. But Moten ran well, lifted well, thought he did really, really good. And I think all 32 NFL teams were there. That's might be a guy who gets a camp invite. And then one that I've talked about a lot, Graham Mertz, to tear his ACL in what, October, September, have surgery in October. To come back and be able to go through a full quarterback pro day, rolling out, going through dropbacks, play action. Yeah, he looked like Graham Mertz. So like he had some really, really good passes. He had some passes that wobbled, maybe a little bit underthrown. Sometimes where he showed a little frustration because a pass was underthrown.
Obviously, he's not where he really wanted to be, but he's just trying.
Right. But to be able to go through a drop back or to throw a pass on the run.
That's impressive.
ACL sure. Surgery.
Yeah.
Just
that deserves some doggy coins.
Tip of the cap to him.
For sure. I'm sad y'all said my boy Wingo ran a 4.7.
He ran a 4.78.
So he's probably second string slot receiver at the University of Miami.
Dog.
Nick's back at it. Laying up. All right, let's finish.
He's got to make a couple more plays. He might be the starter.
Cam Carroll, 18 bench presses, a 4.95, 40-yard dash. Montrell Johnson, 17 bench press reps. DJ Douglas, 16 bench press reps. Yeah, yeah, it's a little tongue twister there. 4.56, 40. Brennan Crenshaw-Dixon, 15 bench press reps. And then Jaquavion Frazier's 12 bench press reps, 4.59, 40, and 27-inch vertical there. We did talk about Max Garcia a little bit last week, trying to get that 10th year so he gets full NFL pension if he gets that. So that's where we're at with Pro Day.
Ain't too shabby.
Bench.
No, nah, man, 10 years. That's a feat, bro. Shout out to him, bro. I hope he makes it. I hope he gets on a roster.
Yeah, I hope he get that year 10 so he can keep those feet up, man.
100%.
All right, let's get a quick ad read. Go visit our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. We've all got cups. Nick's hoarding a bunch more. I'm sure the lovely occupational therapists around Gainesville have enjoyed their free cups. There you go.
You might need another one of these.
Yeah, I definitely
need one of these.
We need to get a new logo. Mm-hmm. We need the new logo. Yeah. So go visit Game Time Sidekicks.
Yeah.
No, nothing is as cold as Walter Clayton at the three other than Game Time Sidekicks with a little ice and a water. So go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. And you get 15% off of your order. Stadium 15.
I've asked you what the promo code is enough times that I think it's finally sunken in.
Stadium 15. Now you've got enough cups to last you the next few decades.
What cord am I cutting, James?
Okay, so can y'all let me in on that? Walter Clayton was really on a recruiting visit as a football player? Was he supposed to be on a football
Walter Clayton team? Was I think he was a quarterback, I believe.
I think he was being recruited at cornerback, but I think he was a quarterback. Friends with Gervon Dexter, childhood friends.
I think Elijah was a quarterback.
You're right. Walt and Gerv played on the same AAU team from the same area. So they played basketball together. And I don't think they went to the same high schools, but same AAU team. I was talking to Kiwan Ratliff at practice, and Kiwan was trying to get Florida to offer Walt as a football player.
Right.
And Walt at one point told Rat, like, I'm a Hooper dog. Like, I appreciate you.
I was about to say, as good as he is hooping, I wouldn't take my talents over there to the dirty side.
So, over there. They started at Lake Wales High School, and then Walter Clayton transferred to Bartow High School. But they're, again, same age-ish. Grew up friends with one another. Has a great visit of him in a Florida Gators orange jersey with Big G as well. So
that's still a gamble, though, Jordan, like, because, I mean, what, 50-something people make an NFL roster. So if you're just going off of just – how hard it is to make it to the NBA. Like, you got to be betting on yourself to go play. You got Florida offer as a DB. 9 times out of 10, probably make a roster at special teams or a tryout or something. NBA.
That's a fact. You definitely. Yeah. But I'm just more thinking about it from a perspective of, like, all the real hoopers. Like, if obviously a lot of people think they can hoop. A lot of people can play basketball at a high level. But it's just certain ones that are just – above that mark, and I felt like he is one of those guys that's above that mark. And when you're that good at basketball, you really don't want to dibble and dabble in football too much because you just know you one of them ones for real. So that's why I feel like he shouldn't have really even rolled the dice and trying to play football, mess around, tear ACL or two, shoulder, anything, just at practice. Just stay clean on that basketball court, man. Football ain't for everybody.
We saw some of that football a little this week, though, because they was going out. They had a game plan. You know, the words out on Walt that he slacks on the defensive end sometimes. So they had a game plan to go right at him, and he showed up this week, bro. That poke counter came out.
You push somebody enough, that poke counter will come out.
100%.
Hold on 1 second. James, what cord? Oh, the hat? My rope? What cord and or cod am I cutting?
Shout out to James. James has been hanging out the whole show, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to James.
All right, let's see. What else? Football practice restarted last week. Spring game is next Saturday, the 12th in Gainesville.
We got some scrimmage notes? What's up? We have you had a scrimmage?
Bro, there was no scrimmage. I saw. I got so many questions, but hey, why are there no scrimmage? Why is there no scrimmage notes? I'm like, that's because there's no scrimmage. Also,
it's a good reason not to have them, though.
Your boy will be sitting up in the press box during scrimmage. So check out Fort Victorious for scrimmage notes.
When is the scrimmage?
Live scrimmage notes tomorrow.
So you can go to FloridaVictorious.com.
It's getting chippy tomorrow. That's gonna be
a they were only doing one scrimmage before the orange and blue game,
which makes sense.
If you've been at practice, like some schools are getting rid of their spring game completely. Florida is down like 4 or 5 defensive backs. You got a bunch of guys in black jerseys. It looks like the Arkansas game. There's so many black jerseys at some of these practices. I was talking with one player, and they were like, yeah, I don't know that we'd be able to do 2 full scrimmages and then a spring game. I'm like, yeah, it's just like – it doesn't make
somebody
sense.
Leaving out that scrimmage hurt. I ain't trying to say who it
is. Not that.
I'm just being real. I ain't ever getting a scrimmage and nobody ain't getting
hurt. I like that. We are –
just over here. Can you grab some? Can you knock on some wood, please?
I did. But I'm just calling the spade a spade. In my years of playing, ain't nobody ever been through a scrimmage and the motherfucker ain't been in the training room before it was done. So sorry for the family show, but
boys. I hate to break it to you. People get injured in football.
Come on, man. It happens, but I'm glad they're only doing one scrimmage. Hopefully they keep the spring game nice and clean as well. They take care of each other. Nobody don't try to be a spring game hero. You know, you always got those guys who never going to see the field in all their years of playing at UF. So they out there in front of the fans. They want to pop out and show. So hopefully them boys just protect each other, man. Got to go to war with each other. We're not against each other for real. So
I'll tell you, though, I've seen tempers flare, and I like it.
I love it too. I love the chippiness, but no cheat shots, like no low blows. Like, come on, let's keep it good, fellas.
It's interesting because there's been times, and Billy has mentioned this publicly in the past, and a good football coach wants to see that, but there's also like a level that you don't cross. Like once you start getting penalized for stuff, you start being like, listen, I need to show you that I'm more man than you in practice. So I'm going to punch your helmet with my hand and you get ejected from a game. You lose 15 yards. Like, okay, now you were more important. You showing that you were tougher than whoever you were mad at was more important than the team. So I think that's the line. Too. I've never understood it. I did see one where a punch was thrown so hard that the face mask hit the kid. Bust the lip open. And I'm like, okay, maybe you weren't making a mistake. That was an effective punch to a helmet.
Joel, give us some spring football tales, man.
Oh, spring football has definitely gotten chippy over the years.
Best fight or fight where you were like, maybe not even involved, but being like, oh, shoot. Like that's.
I got one. It was really O-line, D-line, because that's usually – obviously,
how that's what happens.
Stars. Yes, always O-line, D-line. So it was spring practice. It was like the beginning of spring practice kind of day. We wasn't really in pads yet. Like, we still just, like, fitting up, you know, playing with the towel because you're not allowed to have a football out there or whatever. But it's competitive because we're not going to be out there and not be competitive. So, as usual, the D-line is always screaming, we getting a sack. And it was a play where we scored a touchdown, but the D-line thought it was a sack. And the O-line comes in his face like, you didn't get no effing sack. It was Cam Dillard. Caleb Brantley. got the sack, apparently, and then
allegedly
Cam was like, yeah, allegedly. He's like, oh, you didn't get no sack, bro. I had your ass, you know, da 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 da. And out of nowhere, Kavonis Davis comes because he had beef. He had beef with one thing about black people that ain't right. I love him to death. But he was dead. He was dead wrong for this one. He ended up stealing Nick Villano AirPods, and he was mad that Nick Villano caught him stealing the AirPods. So Nick Villano and Tyler Jordan were best friends. So Tyler Jordan is like chiming in with Cam Dillard, basically ganging up on Caleb Brantley, like get out of his face. They're like pushing and shoving, not too fighty yet, but you know it's getting close, like in each other's face, screaming. And out of nowhere, Katie just like creeps around, like all the way around the entire group of people, and just swings on Tyler Jordan. Boom! And then after he swings on Tyler Jordan, and the whole D-line comes over to start like fighting the O-line, he gets up, and then he's Nick Villano coming from the sideline, and he goes and swings on Nick Villano. I'm just watching Katie the whole time, like, dude, you started all of this. Like, yes, we was arguing, we was going back and forth, but you started the real punches, and like, it was just bowls being thrown after that. Quarterback backed out. I think at the time, who was actually in at the time was Kyle Trask. He backed out, and it was just O-line versus D-line going at it. I'm watching. I ain't getting into that mess. Some boys too big for me. Y'all got that. But, yeah, it was bowls being thrown. Nick Villano ended up having a black eye. Tyler Jordan had a black eye. Cam Dillard's shirt was all ripped up. It was tearing the O-line up. Number one was my boys, but, like, yeah, O-line lost that one big time.
He said, man, he said black people ain't right, man. Sometimes we ain't right. You got caught stealing AirPods, bro.
Kavonis goes in someone's locker, grabs these, puts them in his pocket, gets caught stealing.
Yes, not and literally is now mad. You know, like you can like trace them. You see where they at. Like, so he ends up doing the find my whatever, finds his AirPods in KD's locker. KD like, man, what the fuck you doing? Now he mad at him. Why the F you in my locker? Da, 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 you going through my... So you mad at bro for finding his stuff, his hard-earned money.
Yeah, that's wild.
My name Bennett, I ain't in it. So I ain't really approached
Why KD are you in my locker wrong, getting my AirPods from your locker? That's why I'm there.
Straight up. And he making bro feel scared now. Nah, he don't even want to tell. He ended up, KD kept the headphones. That's how scared he was in the locker. He wouldn't fight. He kept the headphones. He went on and purchased some new ones. And Katie was just
not wearing them around. He's just like,
he's like,
what could have been?
Me. Right. He's like, you embarrassed me. Da, 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 da. You got them boys thinking I stole from you, bro. I'm from the
spit. Well, you did. Bro.
Yeah, he's like, I'm from the spit that boy one day.
I mean, if it isn't the consequences of your own actions, you know what I mean?
Oh, that was McElwain. We have freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence. And Nick Villano said, you know what? The consequence of retrieving my AirPods is not worth the $250 to buy new ones.
I'm telling you. So that was it, man. And KD was just a clown for that. He was a Dade County dude, man. He was one of them trench babies. What?
Had the wigs.
Well, yeah, he had the wigs and told it all. Miami Central High School, man.
So I saw it was just their spring games as their early enrollees, and I said Kyle Trask is better. I was trash train from that first spring. What was it like in practice? I don't think Trask had like the leadership and the vocalness, and maybe that's what held him back in the coach's eyes. But Kyle Trask, quarterback wise, throwing the football. Was the best quarterback you guys had on the team.
Definitely. Earlier. And you can see it. Obviously, Kyle was going with the twos at the time, so he had a second O-line, second receivers, which wasn't a bad group of receivers. Like, we had depth at receiver. So he would always go down. Like, when we would do two-minute offense, like ones and twos and threes, they take turns doing two-minute different scenarios. Kyle always put the ball in the end zone. His game was never off. I think that's what it definitely was. He wasn't a vocal guy. He wasn't as like out there as Felipe, even if he didn't score, just the way that he was going about the drive and the way he was leading the team down the field, it looked like that's who you wanted your starter to be. Like, he would rally the guys up versus Kyle. Everybody knew their job for real. So he didn't have to rally anybody up or even act like he was rallying people up. He just would go in there and do what he's supposed to do. And
that's cool. He rallied in the end zone. What were we doing?
Now I'm trying to tell you. It was about my pay grade on who should have started, but see how that went.
Anyway, scrimmage tomorrow, I believe. Napier talks to the media tomorrow, and we will talk to Ryan O'Hara.
Nice.
And Jonathan DeCoster, I believe, on Wednesday now. They moved it up because a lot of people are moving. A lot of people are media are leaving Thursday to go to San Antonio for basketball.
Oh, that's very nice of them. That's very nice of them. Good stuff. So we'll have a little bit of breakdown about that next week. Obviously, go join Florida Victorious and you get the live action scrimmage updates and all the other stuff that Nick and his team post over at the Florida Victorious message board and website. So go visit them. We appreciate everybody for watching. Any final topics before we get out of here?
I don't know, but to answer this question, nobody snitched on Will Greer. He pissed in a cup and it was dirty. That was that. I mean,
just like story. How many people does the NCAA test when they come? They don't test the whole team. They tested like 15, 20 guys.
Yeah, straight up. So apparently,
let's talk about Will Greer next.
What you said?
Let's do a segment like that, man. Let's talk up and do some old stories, and you know, we'll bring up scenarios, and you can tell us, you know, from your perspective, what the hell was going on. We won't get dirty or nothing like, but it was a lot of news going on. Man,
best question that we always ask: a silk original. Well, first off, James, it's an actual rope. But best question we always ask: who had the best hands on the team during your 3 years in the locker room? Sounds like KD wasn't afraid to throw him.
Yeah, KD wasn't afraid to throw him, but KD lost to KD fought Brian Cox. Brian Cox beat KD up one time.
Brian Cox, STA pride.
Yeah, Brian Cox was fading. I would say who had the best hands just out of craziness was Antonio Morrison. I seen him beat up what was the dude from Jacksonville name? The linebacker with the dreads. His name started with a D. Dang, I forgot his name.
Why would you fight Antonio Morrison?
Bruh, he wasn't scared. And them boys got after. I forgot his name. That was a dude from Jacksonville. He used to have dreads. Delonte Adams.
Oh, no. Chopper Dan. Dan McMillan.
There it is, McMillan.
Chopper Dan.
Yeah. Him and Antonio Morrison threw down Tone, beat the crap out of him. We was on the little, I don't know what field we was on. I think we was on the little track field. Like, we was on the track field. Doing like a little early morning, like I don't know what time period that was. I guess that had to be like summer. I guess it was like when I first got there. I was a freshman. It was like one of my first couple practices. I'm over here doing my linebacker pause. I see boys, not even running back pause. I see the linebackers a couple feet away tussling on the floor, throwing balls. I'm like, dang, that's how we get down? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm all for it. I mean, like, we used to fight in my high school too. We used to cut lights off in the locker room and just throw hands in the dark at STA.
No, that's crazy. Again, I ain't signing up for that.
I used to get in my locker at STA and my feet up. Any nigga come, you get kicked straight into the other side of the locker, nigga. I ain't
Hey, nah, your Antonio Morrison fighting in the shower naked story is absolutely hilarious, bro.
Antonio on his like forearm had a tattoo that was large. I remember Mark Long took a picture of it. We were doing an interview with Antonio after he broke the bouncer at the hookah bar's jaw. And then while out on bail, barked at the dog and got arrested for obstructing an arrest. And we're doing an interview, and he's like, I'm only talking about this the one time. Don't ever ask me about it again. And Mark Long looks down, and Antonio Morrison had a don't trust me tattoo on his forearm. And Mark's like, yep, nope, sure don't. Sure don't, Antonio. But, like, that's not a guy who I would say I would say Nathan to him. Yes, sir, no, sir. Mm-hmm. And make sure the tone was correct in saying that as well.
For real.
Mark Long, always finding the interesting stories to talk about.
Your buddy.
Fan favorite. He's still upset that Jim McElwain didn't shake his villain arc True. Started when James McElwain ignored his handshake at the Gainesville airport.
It did. That was
incredible.
That was wild. That was wild. Listen, like, I love Mac. I did not go to that because I did not trust that the UAA would make the head coach available. They wanted to make it a big publicity thing. Look at all the media that's here. The cheerleaders are here. Football players are here. I was like, bro, I'm not driving 30 minutes to the airport to watch the coach get off a private jet. No, thank you.
Yeah.
But I think he went on 1010XL the next day and called him a used car salesman.
Yeah, because he didn't shake his hand and do an interview.
Mark, you're right.
No, Mac's a good guy, man. Mac and his wife, good people.
So y'all saying Mark is never right? Sometimes Mark be right, bro.
Every once in a while.
I bet you didn't think he was right at the time.
No, it's just that's when his villain arc started. He's not been the same since.
Yeah.
Sorry to Mark. It might be when his villain arc started. Shout out to Mark. I love Mark. Mark's always been good to me.
Yeah, same. Big Mark fan. All right. Let's get Corey. I think you have song of the week this week. Or no, Jordan, you do. You do.
While you do that,
I got to do an ad read while you do something else. So let's give one shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. You can get jackets. You can get the baseball pullover. You can get Final Four and basketball stuff there. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, and you will get 15% off of your first order per email address.
Hold on, Dan. I want to let's get a. Here it is. Let's get what do we think this means, Dan? Post from Jacob LaFrance.
Ah, yes, the old-fashioned trolling.
Just a kid from Miami. The kid from Miami committing. I remember a certain coach who's no longer here tweeting that while he was here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Javari Flowers will be in the 2025 recruiting class. I think I misspoke and said he's in the 2026 class. He did reclassify, so pardon my error. So he'll be joining an otherwise an unbelievably elite recruiting class. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the share button. Hit the retweet button or re-X or whatever they call it now. Share.
Care how much money you spent on it. It's you got in too late. It's still a tweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna always be a tweet to me.
It's still Twitter to me, damn it.
Yeah, it's always gonna be Twitter to me. It's always gonna be Twitter to me. All right, Jordan, you have song of the week, and let's get out of here.
Yeah, I'm gonna take you out of Broward County one time. You know, this has been my song on repeat.
Breathe the Hardaway.
Yeah. It's by my boy FCG Heem. It's called Day 36. He mentioned my boy, one of my best friends, Sam Bruce. If you're a football fan back in the days, you know about Sam Bruce, how much of a killer he was on the field. But yeah, Day 36 is the song. He quote my boy in that song, and I've been bumping that for the past couple of days. So that's my song of the week.
FCG, Day 36. Yep. All right, boys, we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. Hey, big basketball game this weekend. Go Gators.
Let's do it, baby.
See you guys.
See you in San Antonio.
And we'll let you guys know on our feeds what we're doing for.
Listen, we're not doing anything because we'll all be watching the game on Monday.
No, but like if we do a show Sunday, and then I got to go up to the Masters on Tuesday. We'll let you guys figure it out.
another Dan have to do this.
Just one of those things that I have to do. I have to go to Augusta. Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys. Thanks for watching.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.